Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode we have here of Suspense Radio One-on-One and partnered with Partners in Crime Tour.net. You can go check them out. Today's guest, we are going to be speaking with author Christopher Meeks on his latest book called A Death in Vegas. So sit back, relax, enjoy, because 30 minutes of Suspense Radio One-on-One starts right now. Running again on Suspense Radio 101. I'm your host, John Robb, and we want to welcome our guest today. He is author Christopher Meeks. His book is called A Death in Vegas. You can go to chrismeeks.com for more information. So, Christopher, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks, John. This is great. A nice Sunday here in Southern California to do this.
Yeah, it is, and we're both in Southern California, so we're both very, very intelligent, smart people to live here, which is wonderful. So what I want to do is, A Death in Vegas, it's your latest book that's just come out. Why don't you give us a little behind the scenes? Let us know, you know, a little bit more about the book.
All right. Well, this is my second crime novel. Last year, Blood Drama came out, and for behind the scenes, basically, I'd been writing, I had two collections of short stories out and then two literary novels out, kind of comic dark novels. And I ran out of things that happened to me in real life, and I like crime books. So then I started thinking about what to do. Now this one, A Death in Vegas, focuses on the president of a beneficial bugs company. You know, he sells ladybugs and glass wings and other beneficial insects for organic gardeners. And there's a big convention every year in Las Vegas. The Lawn and Garden World is part of the National Hardware Show every May, I think it is. And so he's got a booth there in Las Vegas, and he hires a model to be dress up as a ladybug. And he wakes up one morning and finds her naked and dead in his hotel suite. And he had nothing to do with it. But he seems like he's set up for it somehow. And the police are ready to grab him. And then other things are starting to happen, like the FBI is investigating an apparent money scam, which, again, he knows nothing about. What the hell is going on? And so he realizes the only way to find out is escape arrest and try to find out what's going on, even though he's not a detective. So it connects to my other books in that I'm very interested in ordinary people in extraordinary situations. So
I got to say, that's a very unique protagonist. I had zero idea that if you're kind of an organic garden, that you're buying bugs to put into your garden. I mean, maybe I'm just the type of person who does the topsy-turvy tomato plants and has no idea about anything else. But, I mean, were you in Vegas knowing this convention? I mean, is your background is not, unless you're an amateur gardener, I mean, your background, of course, is teaching English at, you know, Santa Monica and UCLA and creative arts. How did you kind of come about this?
Well, one of the joys I have in writing each novel is coming up with a protagonist who does something different than I do. A couple novels ago, Love at Absolute Zero focused on a physicist who specializes in what happens to matter near absolute zero. It changes. The whole universe changes. Einstein was focusing on this. And so it basically a quantum physicist who finds he has 3 days available and he's going to find a wife in those 3 days. It's using the scientific method. The point is, I didn't know anything about quantum physics, and I had to learn a hell of a lot in a way to explain it to the lay reader, because physicists themselves don't explain things very well generally. But since I'm a teacher, I enjoy learning something and then teaching it. So with this book, a friend of mine happens to have had an organic bug company, and I knew about it for years. I'd visited him occasionally. And when he and his wife, who ran it together, were going to Las Vegas for this show, I just thought, oh, that'd be interesting. Let me go. And when I went and saw what a monster convention this was, I mean, it was taking over much of Las Vegas, this idea of a story started percolating in me. And so I just, you know, I imagined him waking up to this dead woman and what would happen from there. And so that's where my imagination took over. It was really fun. You know, few people, I think maybe many people, in, you know, accept what they do for a living. I think
right.
Few really love doing what they do for a living, and I happen to do that. I love teaching. I love writing. And so each book is an absolute adventure for me. And I'm not particularly stuck, as you see, in any genre.
Right. That's the one thing I think when people, if they go to your site, again, chrismeeks.com, you're going to see that you have a kind of an eclectic range here of genres that you're writing under. Like you said, A Death in Vegas is your second crime novel, by Blood Drama being your first. But then you got in, you know, Love at Absolute Zero. You have a couple other different books that you write in. And so I'm kind of curious, what is the gravitational pull to you now by bringing out Death in Vegas, which is kind of, which is your second crime novel?
Yeah. You know, what holds them all together is I'm interested in story. I just love a good story. And I would think most people, when they go to the movies, don't just always see crime movies, that's it. They'll see the comedies, they'll see something that someone says you have to see, like Gravity. And so, if anything, I want people to see that I'm drawn by character, and I write stories about what interesting people do. And because I've read many crime books, and I have to say, you know, it kind of goes way back, like I suppose many readers and writers, to Raymond Chandler, who's, you know, when I first read his books, I just got so caught up in it. And, you know, the plots of some of those books are, you know, not tight, and yet the characters are. And I happen to like Michael Connelly a great deal, too, and a few others, but the point is I like great characters, and crime books offer conflict. You know, you get to push it to an extreme. But I have to say my next book, the one I'm working on now, is based in the Iraq War. So, yeah, going to another
place. You're
kind
of all over the map, literally all over the map.
Exactly. But this one, every book I write has a connection to me somehow. So the Iraq book is one of my former students happened to, you know, fight in Iraq. And as I got to know him, I realized this guy has got a story. And so he and I are writing it together. And I'm not the only one to think he's got a story because HBO and Netflix are vying for the miniseries rights to this story.
Wow.
So in this case, I happen to be in the right place at the right time. But, you know, I just like writing. So even though the voice for the Iraq novel is different than the voice for A Death in Vegas, they're both stories about interesting people. And I think if people read one of my books, they're likely to try another.
True. True. And that's the one thing, you know, so you, being a teacher in the creative arts and seeing many different kinds of styles, having to read many different kinds of styles, what was kind of your pull that you decided, hey, you know what, I want to start writing in crime fiction, and then you kind of started bringing out blood drama. What was that kind of pull for you to kind of go that direction away from, you know, sort of the others?
Well, first of all, it's interesting teaching young writers or at UCLA teaching even older writers. While people may read a lot of books or watch a lot of movies or TV, story is a tsunami coming across us. It's interesting that people don't, you know, young writers don't understand how stories are put together. And novels are very much like screenplays and stage plays, which I happen to write before novels, in that you're always writing scenes. You know, a scene starts in one direction, and then something happens and throws it in another direction. And it's those turns, those switches in direction that propel a story forward. And many people who start writing don't get this. Even if I describe it in theory and show examples, it takes a while to get this idea that you write in scenes and that a whole bunch of facts don't move the story forward. They, in fact, stop the story. You know, if I'm talking about a character, his favorite color is blue, he has Crocs shoes, he's letting his beard grow. They may add a certain color to the character, but it's not all that interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, if you learn these facts in a scene of action, then it comes across. And so, again, one of the reasons I went to crime fiction was I get to push my scenes to the maximum, where one of my earlier novels, The Brightest Moon of the Century, which is about a young man over the course of 40 years, you know, looking for the perfect woman. And so while there's plenty of conflict, you know, crimes of the heart, you know, his life is never in danger. But then again, when you do it well, it feels like it's, you know, his world is about to crumble and fall apart. But in crime, you actually get to, you know, confront death. Not that it's a great thing to get to do, but in terms of story, it is. And so in A Death in Vegas, my protagonist's name is Patton Birch. You know, he grew up in Pasadena, you know, had a good life and started this bug company. And so he's totally out of his realm when all this comes down on him. And yet what he does reveals who he is. I was even seeing that on TV last night on Law and Order, where episode, it revolved around the Milgram experiment, if you know that, a famous psychology experiment where Stanley Milgram took people, you know, just average people, and said they were part of a learning experiment, and they had to shock people. And they thought they were
people.
Yeah, but they thought that they might even be killing them. And it, I happened to be a psychology major way back when. And this experiment just threw me, like, wow, ordinary people can do this. Milgram decided that Nazi Germany could be anywhere. And last night on Law and Order, it was a guy who kidnapped couples in love and then forced them to either shoot their partner or get killed. And what would they do?
Oh.
And he proves that people, you know, will not sacrifice themselves. They'll let, you know, they'll kill their loved ones. Well, maybe the episode was a bit didactic, but it ended with them saying, you know, this shows what people, you know, character comes out by what they do. And that's, in essence, what writing is about. You put your characters in situations, and what do? Do they flee at the first sign of danger and hide, or do they take it on, or what do?
You're exploring this. Yeah, you're kind of exploring this, and you don't. And so you probably are surprised when you're getting involved to realize what they're going to do also.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I've learned over now, what was it, 5 novels, is I can imagine scenes in my head so much faster than writing them that I create outlines and I see the whole scene through. And then I can, what if? What if it got even worse? And so I go into writing, making a lot of the creative decisions in advance, but still they surprise me. You know, as much planning as I do, they will do things that just makes my jaw drop or laugh or whatever. And if I'm interested, then I'm figuring readers will be interested too.
Right. Now, I'm going to give you this question because there's a big debate that's going on, and I hear it in the world of books and literature because I've been to a lot of conventions. So I hear a lot of authors talk about it, a lot of fans are talking about it. It's the idea of plot versus character in a book, which is kind of driving stories and this and that. So I'm going to ask you, which side of the fence are you on? Are you on the plot side or the character side?
This makes me smile because I bring this up to my students. I make them choose. But the answer is they both go together. You can't have one without the other. I mean, you can. You know, you watch certain action movies where it's so much action you don't get any character. But then again, you can have stories that have a lot of character, but they're not doing a lot. In today's
I think that how some of this came up was, and I'll just and say is that authors that have written long-standing series, like 10, 15, 20 books with the same character, is that what people are buying? Because the plot really hasn't changed all that much. So I guess that's the debate of, do I need to write a 10, 15, 20 book series with a great character to be successful, or do I need to write standalone novels like a David Morrell and people like that who do a lot of standalones and they don't really do long series, and that's the that's the way to be successful. So I think it kind of pulls people in different directions.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, when it comes down to readers, no matter what, they're drawn by character. But the characters have to do something. And so if you have a 10-novel series, they're doing a lot. But, again, I go back to Chandler. We like Philip Marlowe But you may be hard-pressed to come up with a lot of his plots. You're just interested in what he's doing. And yet at the time you're reading, the plot is quite involving. You know, I suppose I'll have to go to European movies where some films have characters, but they're just choosing over what marmalade to buy or whatever. They may be quirky, but is that enough? By the way, today's Los Angeles Times, it's a Sunday Times, has an article on Guardians of the Galaxy. It's this long column that's questioning, bringing up your very question. He's pointing out that Guardians of the Galaxy, which is doing very well, when it comes down to it, what's the plot? You can't explain it. But there's a lot of funny lines and character action, but it's a plot that doesn't, it's not caused by causation. You know, one thing doesn't follow the other. So the columnist is speculating openly, is this where, you know, story is going? He doesn't have an answer per se, but he's intrigued that I suppose in this case there's more character than clear plot. But there's still stuff happening, given any scene. So that's another element here. While your individual scenes may have stuff going on, do the scenes themselves add up?
But then that kind of leads me into my go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh no! I'll go back to it if we have time.
That kind of leads me into my next question, though, is. When you sat down to write A Death in Vegas, and again, we're speaking with author Christopher Meeks here. Go to chrismeeks.com for more information about the book A Death in Vegas, Blood Drama, and a lot of other things Christopher has written. So when you decided to sit down to write A Death in Vegas, why Patton Birch? What drew you to him that made you decide that he was going to be the lead character and drive this story?
Oh, that is a good question. And part of it, I
we
don't
only
have
good
answer
ones
for.
Here. Other radio shows have bad questions. We only have good ones.
I'm glad I'm on this show.
Yeah, see, you got you on this one.
Yeah, he's intriguing. He's intriguing to me because a huge part of this story, by the way, involves his wife. When his wife finds out a new dead woman was in his room, what's going on? And she has a lot of doubts, and quite quickly she can't be found. Now, has she disappeared on her own? Has someone taken her? But the last time he sees her, his what he thought was a great marriage is starting to come apart at the seams. And so he's confronting what he loves about his wife. And tries to get her back, tries to find her. So while it wasn't my intent at the start to include a love story about married people, which I don't think there's a lot of those around, it became that. And I guess what intrigued me about him are just many of the elements loosely based on a friend of mine. So I tell my own students it's good if you connect to people in your own life because truths about them will seep into your story. And that's my goal here is to have a number of truths about living come out. So my goal wasn't to write a whodunit kind of thing where at the end you go, oh, that's interesting, and you forget about the book. So going back to your earlier question, I do place a high priority on character because at the end of the book, I want you thinking about what made him tick and maybe what makes you, the reader, tick. What is this crazy life we're living about?
Oh, yeah, well, you got that right. I don't know yet. I haven't figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. But you have only so much time.
Well, and speaking of time, we only got about 90 seconds left. So what I'm going to do then, Chris, is I'm going to give you the floor here for the last 90 seconds to say anything, what else, tell people how to get in contact with you, where you're at, the books, the whole nine yards. So the last 90 seconds is yours to go.
All right, thank you. Well, first of all, those who are listening are in Southern California and hear this before September 5th. I'm giving a reading at Skylight Books in Los Feliz on September 5th, a Friday night at 7:15 p.m. So come on down, you know, see me read. It's a party, food, wine, etc. And you can go to, as John's saying, chrismeeks.com. There's a contact form there if you want to fill it out. If you happen to read my book and want to respond, go to that contact form. I write people back. It's what I do for a living is to connect to people. So I think this is what's great about this new internet age, including this very radio show. And the remaining whatever seconds, I will be having a book trailer on this come out. Tonight we film it. One of my students, the very one who was in Iraq, is doing it.
That's exciting. You got to send that link to us so we can go ahead, trailer, so people can, we can have it on the site and we can put it on social media. So make sure you send that over.
Thank you. I will do that.
Absolutely.
We're aiming to have it done for airing on September 5th, the night of the party.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, we want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing a lot more than just about the book of Death in Vegas, but who you are kind of as a person, as an author, let people kind of get to know you outside the pages. That's what we love to have on the show. You know, we can talk about the book all day long, but we do like to know about the author, who they are, what makes them tick. That's what's intriguing to us. So we want to thank you so much for coming on, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jen. You're great.
And you have a good one.
Don't tell you that you are.
Well, you have a good one. We will talk with you again soon. Keep us up to date. Email us over the trailer. And again, have a fun, great time, Southern California today. Because I know I'm going to. Because it's nice outside. Well,
it's
always nice outside. You know, except for that poor earthquake that happened up in Napa. We hope everybody is okay. It did not hit the city of San Francisco. But it did hit Napa, and
it did hit
so
Napa. 6-0. My father lives there.
6-0. Yeah. Oh. So hopefully
he's
okay.
Okay.
I mean, I heard
he's okay.
I heard 3 seriously hurt and 87 hospitalized. So at least there were no deaths, and that's a good thing. So.
By the way, a death in Vegas does take place up there in Napa. There's another feature.
Another little twist in there.
Yeah.
So all right, Chris. Enjoy. We will talk with you soon.
Thank you, John. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So, again, everybody, that is author Christopher Meeks. The book is called A Death in Vegas. You can buy it now wherever books are sold. Go on Amazon. Get it for your Kindle. Go to chrismeeks.com for more information on everything else that Chris has written, including the book A Death in Vegas. And we want to thank everybody for listening however, whenever, and wherever you listen to us. Again, thanks for joining us here on Suspense Radio One-on-One. Don't forget Crime and Science Radio just interviewed Barry Fisher. That episode is up as of yesterday. Check that out. And keep checking SuspenseMagazine.com for everything that we got going on because we're here for you. So goodbye, everybody. Enjoy, and we will see you all next time.